And welcome back to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL, with our guest attorney here this evening, Jim Cardia, from the firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten, where you can get answers to any concerns you may have about medical negligence, wrongful death, or personal injury that may involve yourself, a friend, or a loved one. Just call us right now while we have some open lines. 1-800-LAW-CALL is the number numerically. That's 1-800-529-2255. And to arrange a free private conversation with a member of the firm, just press option 2. Jim, we have another case here this evening, and I just hope it's not as the outcome is not as bad as the first one. But the woman who became so weak, she had to actually sit down and take a shower. So where do we go from there? She was very weak and had to actually sit down to take a shower.
Well, as you can imagine, Frank, we go downhill from there. And to give you a little background about this patient, she was 67 years old and had a long-standing history of a lung or airway disorder known as bronchiectasis. And that's a condition in which there's damage to the airways. It causes them to widen and become flabby, for lack of a better word. In any event, she had this condition, and she was seen by a lung specialist who performed various tests, and he recommended surgical intervention of this condition, specifically to her lungs. However, Frank, after reviewing additional records and assessing the patient's physical condition, the doctor discovered that there was a dramatic decrease of the patient's ejection fraction. And an ejection fraction is essentially a measurement of how well a patient's heart is pumping. And specifically, it's the percentage of blood that pumps out of the heart with each contraction of the heart muscle. The average or normal ejection fraction, Frank, is usually between 50 to 70%. And because this patient had a dramatic decrease of her ejection fraction, the lung specialist forwarded the patient to cardiology for additional evaluation to see if this patient was, in fact, stable enough to undergo surgery. The patient was seen by the cardiologist, and a number of tests were performed, and the testing revealed that from essentially a 8 to 9 month period of time, this patient's ejection fraction dropped from 45%, which is below normal, to 20%, which is significantly abnormal. And it was at that time, as you noted before, Frank, the cardiologist noted that within the last 4 months, the patient could barely bend down to pick things up, could hardly take a shower without having to sit down, and had to use a wheelchair at the airports when she had to fly. And despite all of these significantly abnormal findings, these red flags, if you will, the patient was cleared for surgery by the cardiologist. He dismissed the abnormal findings on physical exam. He dismissed the history, and he dismissed this significant drop in the patient's ejection fraction from 45 to 20%. So, based upon the blessing of the cardiologist, the patient did, in fact, undergo surgery, and it was several days after the surgery where she suffered difficulty breathing, required reintubation, and could not be weaned off a ventilator. And needless to say, Frank, her condition continued to spiral downward, and at one point several weeks after, it was concluded that the patient had no prospect of being weaned from the ventilator, and after extensive consultations with her physicians, the family decided to discontinue life support, and the patient died at age 67, leaving behind four adult children. And here, Frank, the obvious breach of the standards of care was failing to recognize and appreciate the significance of this patient's drop or decline in her ejection fraction over the 7 to 8 month period of time in conjunction with her clinical decline. And this patient should have never been cleared for surgery because she wasn't stable enough. And it was the decision to allow this patient to go forward with this surgery that resulted in her rapid deterioration and untimely death.
So as I'm listening to this story, the woman basically was living perhaps at that stage when they just before surgery, with only maybe about 20% of what her lung capacity, her breathing capacity, her heart function. I mean, it was really low, as you said, right?
It was really low. Again, the ejection fraction is the percentage of blood that is pumped out of the heart muscle with each contraction of the heart. And the normal range, I should say, for an ejection fraction is between 50 to 70%. Now, she started off at 45%, mm-hmm. which is below normal. But then over this 7 to 8 month period of time, we're talking about drop down to 20%, which is significantly abnormal and is of concern for any patient, much less a patient who is about to undergo surgery.
So, did the cardiologist ever consult with the family and tell them what the risk factors were when the ejection fraction went down to 20%?
The answer to that question, Frank, is unfortunately no. This patient was being seen by the cardiologist for the sole purpose of determining whether or not she was an appropriate candidate for surgery, in the sense as to whether or not she was stable enough to undergo surgery. And this cardiologist concluded that she was fine to go ahead with the surgery, when in fact she was not.
Yeah, and something that serious, I mean, the cardiologist, in my estimation, was obligated, you know, to tell the family what the risk factors were.
You would make a great cardiology expert, Frank.
We're going back to communication, and you know, we have to be as patients, good healthcare consumers, and you know, at the same time, the doctor has to be a good enough doctor, a good doctor, to tell you what the risk factors are. I mean, something that's serious.
Well, that's exactly right. And while we should all be good consumers, a patient, as we've discussed before many times on this program, Frank, has every right to rely upon the physician's advice. And in this case, the physician cleared the patient for surgery, and she underwent the surgery when she was not stable. There are patients who require surgery who are stable enough to undergo surgery. There are some patients who may need surgery but are not stable enough to undergo surgery, and those patients need to be stabilized before they undergo the particular procedure if it's not an imminently life-threatening condition. Here, this patient did not have an imminently life-threatening condition, and before the patient was to undergo surgery, she needed to be stabilized.
So the doctor put her in that state, in a life-threatening situation.
He put her in an imminently life-threatening situation, yeah, by clearing her for surgery.
You go to the doctor to get help, and the doctor is helping you to die.
That's exactly right, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to 1-800-LAW-CALL here this evening. Our guest attorney is Jim Cardia from the firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten. Jim is here to answer all your questions. If you think there is a possibility that you, a friend, or a loved one has been the victim of a medical mistake or misdiagnosis which may have resulted in injury or death, call us right now to ask your question on air at 1-800-LAW-CALL. That's 1-800-529-2255. And right after we take a break here, the lack of communication between medical professionals, the number one cause of medical errors, and some recommendations on how you can help prevent being a possible victim.